We're going to learn a letter of the Rebbe. This letter, it's a short letter, but a lot of content. It's from Igreis Kodesh. Igreis Kodesh is a big book. Right now it has already 33 volumes of letters of the Rebbe that people wrote to the Rebbe. Many times we don't know who wrote, and just we see the answer. Sometimes the Rebbe quotes who he's talking to. In this case, it's not that. This is not the case. This letter is from 1954. Somebody wrote to the letter, to the Rebbe, I'm sorry, with two questions, basically. So the Rebbe quotes the questions and gives the answers. The letter is very short, but I think it's very powerful. Let's go from the beginning. Baruch Hashem, Chof Iyar, the 20th of Iyar, Tavshin Yudalet, 1954, Brooklyn, Shalom Ubracha. B'mayna al sheiloisav b'michtavoy. In response to your questions on your letter. Aleph. First question. Belom deitanya soif perek aleph. I was learning Tanya, the Alter Rebbe's book, in the end of the first chapter. Oides mekor nefashes haumois. It talks over there regarding the source, spiritual source of the souls of the nations. Who are these people, these non-Jews people? Who are they? Einam Yehudim, which is, are not Jews, v'shoyil b'anagia l'nefashes chasidei umayis ha'olam. And your question is not what it's written in the Tanya. Your question is regarding the souls of the chasidei umayis ha'olam, the good people within the non-Jews, the Bnei Noach. You can't, if you read the end of the chapter, the first chapter of Tanya, it says over there, like, very hard, that the non-Jews, that their soul, and therefore their body also, but their soul come from Shalosh HaKlipes HaTmeyes. What is this thing? So very short introduction before learning the answer, because it's going to be easier to understand the answer. In Jewish mysticism, we talk about basically three levels. They're very basically, because actually like, there are more levels, but basically three levels. You have Kedusha. Kedusha means sanctity. Anything that is connected to God, anything that God is revealed on that thing, that's called Kedusha. That's called sanctity. And in order to be able to receive God's revelation, it needs to be, in Hasidic literature, it's called bittul, annulated, completely annulled to God, completely given to God. Okay, that's Kedusha, that's sanctity, that's fine. Then, I'm jumping one level on purpose, then you have Shalosh Klipis Atmeyes, the three impure shells, that's what they're called, shells. That the idea of a shell is that it covers on the fruit, like the shell of a of an orange or whatever, and it does not allow for the fruit to be actually revealed. You don't see the fruit, you just see the shell. And there are three levels of impurity, which are completely impure, and nothing can be done, nothing good can come out of them. There are exceptions, okay, there are exceptions, and the Hasidus talks about them, but it doesn't really matter right now what the exceptions are. The point is that the definition of these three levels, which we are encompassing one idea, one thing that is divided in three levels, nothing good comes out of that. Nothing. Impure, get out of it. And Tanya says at the end of the first chapter that the souls of the non-Jews come from those levels. Forget it. Nothing good can ever come out of a non-Jew. Nothing. This is what the Tanya says. Then there's another level, which is in middle, which is called Klipas Noiga, a bright shell. What does that mean? We're going to learn this later also, but a bright shell means that it's mixed with good and bad. If you use it for the good, so it gets an aliyah, so to speak, it gets elevated into Kedusha, into sanctity. If you use it for the bad, so it goes down into impurity. Now, with these three ideas in mind, let's go back to the beginning, because it's a very short text. This person is asking, I was learning the end of chapter, the first chapter of Tanya, and it says over there that the non-Jews, you know, they're impure, and they're not good, nothing good will come out of them, forget it. And this guy is asking, what happens with the good non-Jews? What happens with Bnei Noach? What happens with the Chasidei Umayis Ha'olam? This expression is actually found in Rambam and also in Midrashim, in many places. These people are good people. and they have a portion in the world to come. So don't tell me that nothing good can come out of them. Otherwise, why are they in the world to come? So evidently, something is going on here. What happens with these people? The Rebbe answers like this, very short and powerful answer. Nefashes chassidei umayisa oilam, the souls of the good people of the non-Jews, nilkachin min noiga. They're taken out of this intermediate level. If you just learn Tanya and you read the Tanya just as it comes, you say, all the non-Jews that you see in the street or whatever, forget it. Nothing good. That's what it sounds out of Tanya. But there are good people around in the world. So you can't say that, forget it, they're not good. You can't say that. So the Rebbe is answering, they come from the intermediate level. How do you know this? Because it's very nice, but how do you know that? Which means Hasidus. This is explained in many places in Hasidus, says the Rebbe. And he brings actually one source. Because I actually couldn't find it anywhere else. I'm not an expert or master of anything, but I couldn't find it anywhere else. The Rebbe says, Kama Mekoimis, many places, okay? The Rebbe knows, I don't know. What are the places? The Rebbe says, one of the places is, when it passim, in the things that are actually printed, we have to understand the context, because 1954, there were many, many works of Hasidus that were not in print. There were like manuscripts and saved, and they weren't available for everybody. So the Rebbe says, you want something printed, okay, that's fine. You find this book, Likutei Biurim, Alkuntres Ispailus, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Dalet. So the Rebbe says exactly where this is. What is this book? This book is actually a book of the Mittler Rebbe, the second Rebbe of Chabad, explained this is Kuntres Ispailus. Kuntres Ispailus is like a booklet on emotional excitement. It's like it's a big book. It's not simple. It's a big book, like all kinds of, maybe you can make like a master of psychologies, because it explains what emotion is, how it's born, how it develops, how it actually comes out and expresses itself. It's like a whole book just on emotions. This is Kuntres Ispailus by the Mittler Rebbe. Then there was a Chosid that was a very special person, was called Hillel Paricher, Hillel the Parich. He was a Chosid of the Mittler Rebbe, of the second Rebbe Chabad, and of the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe Chabad. He wanted to know, face to face, the Alter Rebbe, the founder of Chabad. He could never manage it. And there are many stories of how he actually tried to meet the Alter Rebbe. He could never meet him. But the point is that this person is called him half of a Rebbe. It's half Chosid, half Rebbe. It was a very special person, not a regular Chosid. And he wrote, among other things, a commentary on this book of Kuntres Ispailus. He wrote a commentary on that book. And in that commentary, which is called Likutei Biurim, like a gathering of explanations, he writes precisely these words. The souls of Chassidei Umayisa Oilam come from Klipas Noiga, from this intermediate level. He writes it like that. He doesn't explain. He just says it. That's it. Here you go. So the Rebbe here is quoting. He's saying an answer, and he's quoting the book. Look, it's written over there. He wrote it. He knew what he was saying. I could finish over here. And then the Rebbe says, you know what? There's something more. Re'e gamken zoyar chelek beis, tzadik hei amud beis, ve'eilech. Go look also in Zoyar, in the second part, in page 95b, and continue reading over there. Go look over there. That's one question, one answer. Let's go to the second one, and then we're going to learn the Zoyar. Very interesting, Zoya. Base. Second question. Eichu begershin isgaya. How does it work with a convert? Like a non-Jew decides to convert. The first question was a non-Jew that wants to keep on being non-Jew. But the second one is, this guy wants to convert. Im nishmosei nishara kemashihaya begoyusoi. His soul, wherever it comes from, continues being just the same as when he was a non-Jew? Is there any like spiritual process over here that something changes inside of this person or not? This is the question he's asking the Rebbe. And the Rebbe is very strong on the answer. In Chas V'Sholem Leimarken, God forbid to say such a thing. That a convert continues being spiritually a non-Jew, God forbid to say such a thing. No way. Kipshita, it's obvious. Asher Nimshech Alei Neshama DeKedusha, that a holy soul is projected into this person when he converts, or he, she, is the same thing, converts. It's obvious, says the Rebbe. And I'm going to explain that this is also one of the explanations of our sages. The expression that our sages use is Gershen is Gaia, Kekatan Shenela Dome. When a non-Jew converts, it's like a newborn. This is what our sages say. But if you look deeply into the words are quite strange. Gershen is Gaia. Literally means a convert that converts. What do you mean? If he's already a convert, why should he convert again? What are you talking about? A Goyshen is Gaia, a non-Jew that has converts. Okay, that sounds fine. But why Gershen is Gaia? Why a convert that converts? And the explanation of this is this is actually brought in the Chidah. Chaim Yosef David Azulai, huge, huge, important rabbi, Sephardic rabbi, end of 700s, like beginning of 800s. And he writes... based on the places that the Rebbe quotes, actually in the next line, he writes that when a non-Jew decides to convert, this actually shows that he had a soul from before. That's why he was already a ger, he was already a convert, but this was not revelated. He had to go to a Beis Din, to a rabbi, whatever, and he had to convert. But inside of him or her, whatever, in a spiritual level, he already had this soul. So that's why it's called Gersh and his guy, the convert that converts. Yeah, right. A convert. This was hidden, and now it's revealed. He's a convert. He converts. And you should also look. The Rebbe says, Agdama Sefer HaZoyar, go look in the introduction to Zoyar, Daf Yud Gimel Samach Amud Aleph, in the page 13, the end of the first page, Samach Amud Aleph. And Verei Shamut Beis in the beginning of the second page, B'makor Nishmas again. If you want to understand the source of the souls of the converts, this is the two questions, two answers. Let's just finish the letter, even though it doesn't really matter right now to what we want to learn, but it's interesting to see. Bevada Yadua Yaidea Me'atakanas Ashave Lechol Nefesh Lemor Bechol Yom Echad Acharat Fila Shir Tehilim. For sure, certainly you know that there is a decree, so to speak, that is for everybody to say after the prayer a measurement of Tehillim, of Psalms, as they are divided in the days of the month. You should go and say Tehillim. Every day we say Psalms, a number of them, like five or six Psalms, as the Psalms are divided in the days of the month. Because actually there are three divisions of Psalms, by book, by week, and by day of the month. So go read the Psalms, like they are divided by day. V'chen lidmod parsha chumash in pirush Rashi, and also to learn a piece of the weekly reading with the commentary of Rashi, v'parsha shavua of the weekly reading, v'shem etakan iselu shem segula gam leatzlacha v'limud ha-toira, toiras anigle v'toiras anachzitz. And if you keep this decree of learning these things, the Psalms and the Torah every day, this is a very good thing to have success in the learning of Torah, both the revealed part and the Hasidus, the hidden part, Bibracha, with blessing, Mazkir. Mazkir means that the Rebbe actually did not write or sign this letter, rather he dictated this letter to one of the secretaries, and the secretary wrote it and signed it in the name of the Rebbe. And the letter went. This is the letter. Now, let's look at the Zohar, because it's very interesting. We're not going to gain a different knowledge than what the letter actually says, because the Rebbe is only quoting where he got this idea from. It's in the Zohar. Okay, but it's interesting to see how the Zohar actually expresses this idea. So let's go to the Zohar. This is, like the Rebbe said, the page, the third book of the Zohar. Zohar is divided in three books. This is the second, I'm sorry, second book of the Zohar. The Zohar is divided in three books. The second one in page 95b. Well, it's a whole thing, like a long thing, where the Zohar is explaining one verse. This is Parshas Mishpatim. The Zohar is explaining a verse that when you read it in the Torah, it's talking about something really different. But the Zohar has this idea of bringing deep meanings to things that appear very simple. The Torah is talking about the daughter of a Kohen, of a priest, that gets married to somebody that is not a Kohen, not a priest, and therefore she cannot eat Truma. Truma is one of the donations of the produce of the land, of the earth, that people used to give the Koyanim, the priests. But if she, even though she's the daughter of a priest, and she could eat this donation because she got married to somebody that is not a priest, which is okay, but it's not a priest, so she cannot eat these donations anymore. The way the Torah says this is, Bas ish koyen, ki si ele ish zar. When a daughter of a priest, when she gets married to a strange man. What does it mean, a strange man? He's not a Kohen. He's not a priest. He's a Jew, okay, but he's not a priest. This is what the Torah is talking about. This is what the Torah is talking about. And the Zohar gives basically two explanations. It's a long piece. The first explanation has nothing to do with us. It's a different idea. But the second explanation is exactly what the Rebbe is referring to and talks about the souls of the non-Jews. Let's go. This starts, if you see where it says two. The Zohar is in Aramaic. Su is behaikra. You see, I think it says chobav, like 26. This 26 thing is not in the original Zohar. This is like, it is page 95b, towards the end of the page. Not the end exactly, but towards the end of the page. In the way we have it right now, like in the screen, the Zohar from the Sefaria, it says Chavav. You see where I am? Su is behaikra. Okay, so the Zohar says like this. Furthermore, after giving like a long explanation, one long explanation, furthermore, is behaikra, there is, it's found in this verse, which one? Ubas koyen ki si ele ish zar. There's another explanation I want to give you in this verse of the daughter of a priest that gets married to a strange man, quote unquote, strange man. What's the explanation? Aluvasa ihi nishmesa kadishin. This, I don't have all the words in English, I'm not so, whatever, but aluvasa is like when she has a busha. Busha is called in Hebrew, embarrassed. Oh, that's the word. Embarrassed is the holy soul. Embarrassed is the holy soul. Why is she embarrassed? Ki si ele ish zar, because she ends up with a strange man. Don't forget, we have like information on advance, but don't forget that Zohar didn't explain yet who is this guy. The only thing we know is that he's not a priest, but he's a Jew. And the Zohar is like building a whole thing. It's going to end up being an un-Jew, but we don't know this yet. We don't know. And who's the Bas Koyen? In the previous explanation, the Zohar said explicitly that this refers to the soul. She is the daughter of the Kohen. Like saying God is the Kohen, the priest, and he has a daughter, so to speak, is a soul. And this soul, instead of ending up in a Jew, ends up in a non-Jew. This is like, again, information in advance. We don't know this yet. We don't know this yet. So the Zohar is saying, oh, poor soul. Poor soul. She is Nishmas HaKadisha. She's such a holy soul. Ends up in a strange man. What does that mean? The ka is mashchas. She is like projected into a strange man, which we don't know who this guy is. Al giyoira this guy. First of all, it can end up in a non-Jew that converts. Giyoira this guy, like we explained before, gershin is guy. Ufarchas alei miganeidim be'erach sosim, and she like flows. She flies. I'm sorry, flies. Into this guy from the paradise, Gan Eden, in a path that is like closed. We don't know this path. We don't understand exactly how she, this soul, ends up in this guy. Al binyano de izbene me'or lemesoava, in a building that was actually built in impurity. Orla is like this piece of flesh on top of the member, whatever the man. And Mesava means impure. So what is he saying? He's clearly saying right now, look, this non-Jew was not built, quote unquote, impurity. He was not born a Jew. So this soul ends up in a building, so to speak, quote unquote, a goof, a body that was born non-Jew. This is what it means, that a Jewish soul ends up in a strange man, in a strange person. Here we're not talking about man or woman. The verse itself is talking about a man, okay, because it's a woman that gets married to a man. But it's a general idea, nothing to do with men or not or women. So let's continue. Right now what we have is a Jewish soul somehow ends up in a non-Jew. How does it work? Oirach sasim, says the Zohar. We don't understand this. V'dohu raza ilo yeseira mikoilo. And here, there is a very deep, very high secret on top of any other secret. This is a very secret thing. Be'amudo de kaima letikla. There's a amud, it's a column. The Zohar is very cryptic when it writes, whatever, when it talks. So amuda means a column. Tikla is like a balance, where you have like an old age balance that you have two sides, and when you put a weight on one side, so it goes down, we put the weight on the other side, it goes up, whatever. So this is amuda, the center of this balance, and tikla means actually the balance itself. Goavira de Nashva, and there's a air that flows between these two sides of the balance. Is tikla chada behai sitra, there's like one place, one side of the balance. Ve is tikla achra behai sitra, and there's another side of the balance. Behai sitra moiznei tzedek, on one side you have like a just and righteous balance. Behai sitra moiznei mirma, on the other side you have like bad things. Mirma means like when one person says a lie and then he's cheating, and this is what mirma means. So this balance is, these are two verses, parts of verses, Mosnei Tzedek and Mosnei Mirma are parts of verses that the Zohar is like cutting and pasting and telling us, look, on one side you have good, on one side you have non-good. This is the way, we're going to continue, but this is the way the Zohar expresses what we spoke in the beginning. There's Kedusha, there's sanctity, there's Klipa, like impurity, and there's a middle way. There's something in the middle, and has a good part and a bad part. This balance never shuts up, never rests. And the souls of people, they go up and down, up and down. Go and coming back. This refers to the idea of Gilgulim, of reincarnation. Go, come down, and then go up, and come down, and go up, many times. And besides the idea of many people going up and down, like one lifetime, then they go up, then another lifetime, then they go up, etc., etc., there are certain souls that are like oppressed, ashikin, oppressed, like tied up to something. Kat shalta Adam ba Adam, when, this is also a verse, when there's a ruling of one man over another man, he's saying when there's impurity, when there's bad behaviors, so there's a soul that ends up like trapped in some place. When people do avedas, when people do transgressions, diksiv, as it's written, eis asher shalat Adam ba Adam l'ra loy vaday. There are times, says Koyelet, Shlomo HaMelech, there are times that governs, rules one person over another person, and it's bad for him. For him, literally, what is he saying? One person refers to the good part inside of us. The other person is the bad part inside of us. And there are times that the bad part inside of us governs and rules over the good part, and you end up doing things you should not do, you're not supposed to do, against the will of God. And this is lera loy, this is really bad for you. What does that mean, it's bad for you? This traps the soul. This generates that this soul cannot actually function like any other soul. We continue. Aval hai nishmesa, but this soul that we're talking about, the havas le sitra achra, ended up in the other side completely. Ish zar, like a strange person. It's not even Jew. Visashkas minei, and is being oppressed by this strange person. Do ihil ra loy. This is what it means, really bad for the soul. Loy. Lehau ish zar. And this is not only bad for the soul, this is also bad for this strange person. Why? Because this strange person feels like awkward. I like Judaism, but I'm not a Jew. But there's something strange over here. Why do I like these people? I have no connection to them. But I enjoy these ideas. So this is actually generates a strange feeling inside of a person. You want to be one place, but you're in another place. And you're finding the place where you are, but you want to be somewhere else also. But who am I? Where am I? What am I? This is what it's talking about. La ra loy. It generates like strange feelings. Ve'ihi, this soul, we continue with the verse that the Zohar is giving an explanation to, bisrumas hakodoshim lo yitzoichel. She, again, the verse is talking about a woman. She's the daughter of a priest. She cannot eat the donations that the priest receives because she got married to somebody that is not a priest. The way the Torah says this is, bisrumas hakodoshim, that the holy truma, she cannot eat. And it's okay, it's a law in the Torah, and everything is fine. However, now we're talking about the soul. And this soul somehow, again, we don't know how, and the Zohar itself says, Oirach Sasim, we don't know how this works, this soul ended up in a non-Jew. And now, can this soul express and function like a regular soul? No. How do you know this? This is what the Zohar is explaining in the continuation of the verse. She cannot eat holy things. Not that a person cannot eat. Go eat and be happy. It's saying she cannot actually enjoy Kedusha, sanctity. She doesn't understand it. She's like trapped in a place that doesn't allow the soul to express. In different places, the Arizal writes, actually the Arizal didn't write anything, but the students of the Arizal write that the idea of a Gilgul, of reincarnation, usually means something good. Like you're given another opportunity, you're given a chance to grow up, etc., etc. Sometimes it's a punishment. And it's a very hard punishment. How? For instance, when a Jewish soul ends up in a stone, in a dog, in a cat, whatever. What's the problem? The Jewish soul cannot function as it's supposed to function. You can't put on tefillin or fulfill any commandment being a stone. What do you mean? I can't move. Okay? This is your punishment. You're not going to move. You're not going to fulfill mitzvahs. It's a punishment. 100%. This is what the Zohar is like referring to. This soul that is inside a non-Jew, she can't eat, quote-unquote, truma. She cannot function properly. Okay, is the soul like doomed until the end of times? No. The Zohar continues. At the avid bakut shabrichu ma de avid. This the lashon, the wording is very like strange. Until God does what he does. This is what he says. What does he do? I don't know. Whatever. God takes this soul out of this place. I don't know. But the point is, the soul is in a strange place. She's not used to this place. She cannot function properly in this place. And God has to do something until this soul like gets liberated or whatever the case is. Asakra, that's why the verse comes and says, Ve'omar, and says, Paskoyen kisir leishzar. That's why the verse says, when a daughter of a priest, which means the soul, goes in and gets married, quote unquote, to a strange man. This is what it means. This soul ended up in a non-Jew. And again, why did the Rebbe like show us this Zohar? Because the Rebbe is again saying, look, the souls of the non-Jews that actually connect to Yiddishkeit, to Torah, to mitzvahs, to Judaism, etc., etc., they come from this balance, this place where there's good and there's bad. And the soul is like trapped in there, but don't tell me, like the Tanya says at the end of the first chapter, that it's completely impure. No, the Zohar is not saying this. The Zohar is saying, Nishmas HaKadisha, there's a holy soul over here, But she got trapped in this place. She got trapped over there. Acha Izraza. There's a secret over here. There's a like a deep secret over here. Eich misashkin nishmasin. How comes that a soul comes oppressed? What happened over here? Elohai alma is naik koila. Beilana de das toivara. I'll explain to you. This world conducts itself. Everything in this world comes from, so to speak, the tree of knowledge of good and bad. What does that mean? Again, the Zohar has a very weird expressions. This means exactly what we were saying before. Klipas noiga. There's good and there's bad. Everything in the world is composed, so to speak, of good and bad. The God is Nagam b'nei Yalma b'sitra de toif. When the regular people of the world, they behave on the good side, tiklo kayama ve'achra l'sitra de toif. So this balance again, with the way it goes down in a good way, so to speak, in a good part, in a good way. The God is Nagam b'sitra de ra. When people behave bad, achra l'hau sitra. So it goes to the other side. All the souls that at that particular point were actually on there, on the balance, have ashiklan venatila. That's why they catch them. You catch those souls and they take those souls. They oppress those souls. What is he saying? Look, how does a Jewish soul and a holy soul, etc., end up in a non-Jew? Because at that particular moment, that soul was actually in this place for good and bad, the behavior of the world was so bad that the bad overruled, overcame, whatever, the good part, and this soul became like trapped in bad. And it ended up in a non-Jew. Like the story I said before, like Binyana de Orla, like this person that was built, not in a pure way, because he wasn't born Jew. That's how the soul actually ends up in these places. Aval, however, l'raloi. All of this is actually for bad. The inu nishmasin kafyan l'chol ma deishtakach v'sidra bisha. All these souls that are trapped. So the Zohar itself is saying, like, we have to understand, it's not one guy. Oh, there's one guy in the world that has a soul. No. There are a number of souls. It doesn't really say a number, but he says, "Inu nishmas." There are many guys around the world that have these souls. Probably they don't know. Of course, I don't know. And they live like uncomfortable lives with themselves. Maybe they're rich or whatever. They're happy. It doesn't matter. But with themselves, when you look inside of you, you say, "I'm not comfortable with who I am," because actually you're somebody else. That's what's going on. Let's go back to the language itself. The inu nishmas in kafi, and these souls are like kafian, comes from his kafian, like subdued. Lechol madishkechan misita bisha, to all that subdued, to all things that are found in the bad side. Beshait sanle, this bad side like destroys the person itself. Vesimana ledo, and I'm going to give you a sign so you can understand this, what I'm talking about. Aroina Kadisha. Look at the holy ark, where the scriptures were over there, the Torah was there, and the tablets were there. What happened with the ark? The Sashaka, go Plishtim. At some point in the story, the Plishtim, the Philistines, they took the ark. So the ark ended up like in a bad place, and they didn't know what to do with this ark. If you look, it's very interesting, like even humorous, what happens to them. They can't go to the bathroom, and they all kinds of plagues and problems they have because of this ark. Shalitu bei, and this ark ended up actually ruling over these people. Let alone, it was so bad for them. They didn't know what to do until they gathered all together and say, what do we do with this thing that is really hurting us? And they ended up with the idea, let's send it back to the Jews. Forget it, this is not for us. Only when they sent it back, they became like alleviated. Okay, now it's good for us. Ufahi, the same thing happens over here. Hani nishmosin isashkin. Misitra achra l'raloin. these souls ended up trapped, like oppressed, on the other side, and it's bad for the other side also. The way I understand this is not what is written, but the way I understand it is that the person ends up feeling awkward. That's my understanding, my interpretation. This is not what is written over here. If you actually only stick to the text and to what sounds out of the text, this is really suffering, so all kinds of problems, like the Plishtim, like the Philistines received because they had the ark. But I think it's talking about like more like in a spiritual level of not feeling well with yourself. Now comes the main part. All of this was an introduction. Ma isavidu meinu nishmas. And what happens with these souls? What happens to them? Because previously the Zohar said, God does what he does. What does he do? He didn't say. Okay, what happens with these souls? Chaminem besifrei kadmoi. We saw, I don't know who is we, but whatever. We saw in the ancient books, like we found very ancient books, the minayu havu inun chasidayu moisoila. From these souls come the good people of the nations of the world. They have these souls. What happens with these souls? They have these souls. And not just them. The Zohar continues. Ve'inun mamzirei talmidei chachomim. And those bastards that are actually very knowledgeable people in Torah. What does it mean a bastard in the Jewish law? When a woman that was married had a son with somebody else. She could not be with somebody else, whatever. She did what she do, and he did what he do, and they had a son. This son is a bastard. That's what it's called, a bastard. But it can happen that this guy is a Talmid Chacham. He's really a sage. He's not like a bad guy. He's a Jew. He's a sage. He receives these kinds of souls that were oppressed and were found in this balance, whatever, when people were behaving not properly. And don't come and think, this is actually quoting the Talmud itself, says the same thing. Don't come and think that these people, they have these souls, they're non-Jews, okay, they're Hasidim, whatever, they're pious people, that they're non-Jews, and this is a mamzer, this is a bastard, forget it, he knows a lot of Torah, he's a bastard. No. Look at the wording of the Zohar, it's very interesting. The katman lekahana rabo amo de ara. They come before, in level of elevation, they come before the supreme priest, Kohen Gadol, and the people of the regular people, forget it. These two guys, Hasidim Oilam and Mamzire Tamid Chachomim, are before them, higher than them. The Choshuv Be'alma, they're really important people. I'm sorry. I translated some one point wrong. The Kadman, the Kahana, Rabba, Amma, the Ara, the Choshuv Be'alma, Afal Gav, the Alif, Nevelivnim. Okay. These people come before the holy priest or whatever and the rest of the people, and it's important. These two guys are more important than this high priest that used to go in this most internal place in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple, in the most important day of the year, Yom Kippur. Forget it. These two groups of people, Hasidei Umos HaOlam, the pious people of the nations, and the Mamzire Tamid Chachomim, they're more important than them. After hearing all of this, Bocho Haisava Rigo Chada. There was an old man, the Zohar, I told you before, it's like a long thing, the Zohar comes from a previous explanation, and there was a guy that appeared over there, Sava. Sava is like an old man, nobody knows his name. The Zohar is very common with this people coming up and appearing and saying incredible things, and nobody knows who they are. Okay, so this is one of the cases. And there was a guy over there that was listening to this idea we just read, and when he finished listening to this, Bacha, he was crying. He was really crying. Tabu Hebraya, and the rest of the people that were talking like normally and saw this guy crying after this explanation, they didn't know what happened. Beloyam Rumid, and they didn't say anything. They didn't say anything. Now, we're going to stop here with the Zohar. The Zohar like continues, not directly with this point, but this guy, this Sava, this old man, gives like basically the same explanation applied to a different verse. That's why he was crying. I just heard this, And you know what? I know what you're talking about. And he was crying and said, I'm going to teach you something more. And whatever, the saga continues. But we see clearly, like very, very clear, that the Zohar is saying that the souls of the non-Jews that have some kind of will, or some kind of, whatever, rots and will of being connected to Judaism, they actually come from Jewish souls that were oppressed and trapped and etc., etc., like the Zohar said. I think very important thing to mention, very important thing. There are many, many rabbis and maybe sometimes not rabbis, whatever, that want to use this idea to say, oh, maybe you, oh, I know you, your soul comes from here and there. Okay, today there's nobody that can say such a thing. I mean, I can say it, but from saying to being true, there's a very long road, so to speak. So nobody can say this, such a thing. The Arizal, okay, the Arizal could say such a thing. But nobody today is in the level of Arizal or any of his students. Forget it. So nobody can come and say, I have a very Jewish soul. That's why, no, I don't know. Maybe yeah, maybe no. But we don't know. We don't know. But certainly, definitely, nobody can say that a non-Jew has a impure soul. You could say only that, you could say that only regarding people that you see that really behave so badly, and you know what, better lose them than find them. But a regular non-Jew, like regular person, good person, even if he doesn't know Judaism, forget it, a regular person lives or whatever he lives, he's a regular person, doesn't do any harm to anybody, he's a just person, righteous person. Probably has this kind of soul. Almost probably has this kind of soul. And with this, the problem is that people are ignorant. What can we do? But with this, you can also explain why it's not correct to treat all non-Jews like saying, ah, go in, non-Jews, forget it, impure. No. Maybe at some point in history it was correct. Maybe. I don't know, but maybe. Because people were not educated, people were idolaters, pagans, okay, all kinds of things. But today, where the regular, like, I mean, regular, not such a bright person, regular human being, it's a good person. It's a normal person. Doesn't do any harm, doesn't work, goes to work every day, and has a family, and a regular person. Why should you treat him like an animal? No. No. It doesn't say this in desire. No, no. It's not saying this. It's saying, on the contrary, has a very lofty soul that for some reason got trapped over there. But whatever, it's a very lofty soul.